Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, here we are in the 9 o'clock statewide hour live with the man, George Blackard. And right away, we've got Tim in Billings, who has patiently been waiting on the phone. And he is a VIP caller, so I know he's got something good for us. What do you got, Tim?
A very ignorant person. Happy Freedom Friday, gentlemen. In the last hour there, towards the end, you were talking about the appointments and how, you know, they're being held up by the Democrats. And I would say by the Democrats, yes. And the Republicans, they fear retribution. They fear looking bad. They fear being called the bad boogeyman. And they better get over that, because they're going to be called that anyways, regardless of what they do. But I also think it's like Bongino used to say on his radio show, most Republicans are actually Democrats, and no Democrats are actually Republicans, and the Uniparty still runs D.C., and I think you've got the likes of John Thune and Mike Johnson that, you know, Trump was elected with a mandate. He had an electoral college landslide. He won the popular vote. The people voted for Trump and his ideas, and if these two fellows would go to recess, we could do recess appointments, and we could get all of these people through. They're not going to do it because I don't believe they're truly conservative. I think, and people say, well, John Thune, he's from South Dakota. You know, South Dakota's a red state. Montana's a red state. You had Mark Roscoe that ran forever as a Democrat, couldn't get elected to a statewide office until he switched to a Republican, biggest fence rider in history. And as soon as you get somebody like Trump in there who punches back, who's conservative, who doesn't just lay down for the media and for the leftists to call him names and scare him into doing whatever they want him to do, he folds and he backs the Democrats. So he shows his true colors. So people who want to think, oh, it's a red state, the voters would never vote for that, they vote for it all the time. The Uniparty's still in charge. Trump is still fighting City Hall. He's swimming upstream. And we have a bunch of people in D.C. that are absolutely worthless cowards.
Oh, 100%. I mean, dead on, Tim. It's an excellent call. They are running the place, and they're always going to run the place until the whole thing gets burned down. And you're talking about these recess appointments. Nobody wants to do those. You know why? Because I think, well, George, aren't they, it's a year or 2 years. They only last four. Then you have to come back and do it again, right? So no, the only time they use a recess appointment is to say, if you've got some guy that he's your boy, but the other party absolutely despises him, they say, no way we're doing that, that's the only time you do a recess.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm unfamiliar with that, so I will have to look that up. I'll take your word for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think he makes a good point, and something he said there at the end, they're cowards. Oh, well, yeah. A lot of them are cowards unless they can get somebody else to back them up. You know how it is. It's easy to be tough when you got a bunch of people standing behind you.
Well, and two, they're cowards because it's all about putting money in their pockets.
That's what it,
putting money in their pockets and getting reelected. That's everything else is thrown down line in their priority list.
Exactly. Well, John, I got to run. Thanks for having me today.
Dude, awesome. Come back anytime.
Thanks.
Hi.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey guys, great to be here in Columbia Falls Meadow Lake Golf Course. He lives right down the road, Tom Opry, a great wildlife filmmaker and more. Tom, thanks for coming down. We're going to talk with you more on Monday, but I wanted to get you on the air today because, you know, we were the first to tell folks all across Montana about your new film, The Real Yellowstone, getting hundreds of people to turn out in places like Lewistown. But you're going to be in the Billings area Sunday night doing a screen of your film, The Real Yellowstone. So I wanted to sneak you on today to help get the word out.
Yeah, no, Aaron, that's great. It's great to be talking to everybody here in Montana on Montana Talks. Folks, man, we got a lot going on. Change is ever present, right? We're hearing about it. We're seeing about it. We're experiencing it firsthand. It doesn't matter if you're in the ag business or if you're in tourism or if you're one of our sportsmen and women out in the field. We're seeing more and more people everywhere, and that's just a fact of life. Yet we've got people coming here to Montana Montana that don't really understand our Montana way of life and how things work. One of the things I learned 30 years ago when I first got here was the gate rule. Basically, leave it the way you found it. And so this film is really, really important for educating not only those people. Like we're trying to target this urbanized population we have. Let's face it, even here in Montana, the majority of people that live here do not live in the countryside. They live in cities and towns. And these are the people that are making decisions. They're the ones that are voting for politicians that are enacting laws and policy. And unfortunately, here in Montana, we have politicians, especially in D.C., that are making decisions on policy here in Montana, say about bears that have never seen a bear track. So the part of this film is really trying to educate those types of people, not only abroad, all over the United States, these urban has people in L.A. and New York and Chicago and D.C., but also people in Billings and Bozeman and Missoula and even here in Kalispell.
Yeah, and you're bringing in different viewpoints, and I think that's for a very smart tactical reason, because not only are you giving a voice to the ranchers here in Montana, the real ranchers of Montana, to talk about the struggles they face, the challenges that they face right now, and the threats that they face from, you know, folks coming in and trying to push them off the land, but you're also giving the opposing viewpoint. And I think that's important. I know some people don't like that, but I think it's important, because who do we need to speak to? Who are we trying to convince? We all get it. Our rancher friends get it. We need to speak to maybe a newcomer in Bozeman that doesn't get it, or somebody, like you say, in L.A. that doesn't get it. They need to know why these ranchers matter and why what they're in. And I think you get more of the ear of when you show the opposing side as well.
Well, I mean, let's face it, I'm a journalist. We know journalism might be the true version of it, might be dead today, Aaron. What do? We tell all sides, and we let the viewer or the reader make that decision. If you don't do that, you're creating propaganda. That's not what I'm interested in doing. You know, at the Shepherds of Wildlife Society, which is our little nonprofit, our goal is to reconnect our urban society with nature. And we're trying to get a social buy-in or social acceptance of our modern conservation model. That includes sustainable use, includes hunting. And that's why we have birds in the bird feeder. That's why we have deer and turkey in the backyard. That's why we have our national forest. It's all because of hunters who went hunting. And unfortunately, we've got a huge number of people. You know, only here in the United States, I think we're about 4% of the population buys a hunting license in a given year. Montana, we've got a great per capita, rate of folks that buy licenses. It used to be about 25%, maybe 10 years ago. Well, we're down to like 17, 18% now. And that means every time we see something politicized in that conservation hunting space, which is happening in every political cycle, we are literally in Montana, you know, 60, 70% behind before we even get to the ballot box, and not all hunters show up to vote.
And there are clearly very, you know, organized special interests that are trying to divide, you know, the hunting, fishing crowd, the sportsman community. Very good point. Well, I know we're going to catch up with you more on Monday, since you're going to be, you know, in the studio area. First off, I want to say, man, it's so cool. You know, I've known you for years. I've caught up with you down at SCI Safari Club. Their convention, SHOT Show. I've seen you there as well. I'm so excited though that we were the first to get this on the radar. When I first heard you talking about this film, I was like, this is going to be big, folks. We got it on our Montana Talks website. We had you on the show. But then, you know, other folks from, you know, the country station in Bozeman, Abby Casey got you on that show. And then now other radio stations in Billings are taking it up. Our friend Taylor Brown is helping to put on this screening in Lockwood Sunday night.
Billings premiere in Lockwood, 7 o'clock. Lockwood High School is the Performing Arts Center. It's a brand new theater, holds 700 people, and we want to fill it. We want it rocking. And let's face it, all of our farmers and ranchers, everybody in the ag business needs to come out and see this film so you understand what's going on. And you'll be educated. I mean, I know we all understand, kind of, we have a pretty good idea what's going on and what's not going on out there, but you'd be surprised when you get out of the social media echo chamber.
Yeah.
Because you start to understand, because as a journalist, I follow these films. It's investigative journalism. It's filmmaking. And I end up going down some of these paths. Yeah, once in a while we go down a rabbit hole. But, you know, it's pretty fascinating to hear what's going on here in Montana. And we have some incredible people in the ag business, incredible farmers and ranchers, incredible communities that are doing great work. And community is the key thing here.
Yeah.
Montana is all about community. That's what makes us great.
So for our friends in the Billings area listening to KBUL, you've heard about the big turnouts in Lewistown and elsewhere. Sunday night, 7 p.m. Lockwood High School Auditorium, right? Brand new auditorium. Come check it out. And then we'll catch up with you again on Monday. Tom Opry, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us here at Meadow Lake Golf Course.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right. And, of course, our coverage here at Meadow Lake Golf Course from the Montana Chamber of Commerce Governor's Cup Golf Tournament, all brought to you by Tatanka Cigars. one of my favorites, by the way. And big thanks to, yeah, I know we need some cigars here right now, don't we? Tom's like, where are they at? Well, you go find them. I think you can pick them up down in Kalispell and other locations across the state. But yeah, this coverage brought to you by Tatanka Cigars and Rocky Mountain Liquor, live from the Governor's Cup.
Hey, back here with John Jackson, and we're going to go to break and be right back here with an interview from Aaron Flint as well, when we're going to go to Governor Gianforte out there. Aaron is in Kalispell right now interviewing a bunch of exciting people, and has got some interviews he's going to play for you. But stand by. I see you there, Bruce. I see you on the line. We will get to you after the interview with the governor, if you can hang tight. We'll be right back here and talk to Governor Gianforte here on Montana Talks.
Did you know?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, our coverage here from the Montana Chamber of Commerce Governor's Cup Golf Tournament, sponsored by our friends with Tatanka Cigars and Rocky Mountain Liquor. So great to be here, though, at Meadow Lake Golf Course. What a beautiful morning it is here. And, of course, speaking of the Governor's Cup, Governor Greg Gianforte in the house. Governor, great to see you this morning.
Hey, Aaron, it's good to be with you. This is such a great event. Last night, that ace of the whole reception, it's like the who's who of Montana. The legislators were there, the industry folks, the hospitals, the employers. It brings people together, relationships get built, and business gets done.
I know I was talking with Todd O'Hare, the CEO of the Montana Chamber, on Thursday, and I was talking about how at this very event a couple years ago, you run into people at that very reception that are talking about bringing jobs, not just to Montana, but to eastern Montana or to central Montana. And then what do you know? About 6 months later, a year down the road, boom, a big jobs announcement.
And this has become a national event because companies have a presence here in Montana, but then there are corporate executives from, there were a bunch of people from Houston, Dallas, the East Coast there last night, and some of the spouses are looking around saying, hey, this is kind of nicer than where we live. You know, so this is going to encourage additional investment in Montana, which is ultimately going to create more jobs.
And, well, and speaking of investment and jobs in Montana, you know, it's not just about, you know, here we are in northwest Montana, and obviously this is where you've seen a lot of the population boom and things like that, but you just were in Lewistown for a big grand opening for huge economic news for the middle of Montana.
Yeah, Jens Bergner of Vacom. We cut the ribbon on about an $8 to $10 million investment they've done. They're in production, they're shipping product, and they have big plans. They're going to invest up to $90 million in Lewistown. This is advanced manufacturing. Very pleased to see that EU deal last week. They have 12 pieces of machining equipment that cost $1.2 million each sitting in their warehouse in Germany just waiting to get them here to Lewistown to hire more people and produce these advanced high-tech products.
It's incredible. And, you know, every Friday, of course, this is Friday morning as the Governor's Cup kicks off. Every Friday is, you know, once a month is when we start to get the national economic numbers and, you know, housing starts, et cetera. And here we go, yet another big, high-profile, you know, banking executive or economist or whoever is saying we were wrong about President Trump and his fight to bring manufacturing back to America. And the economic numbers just keep coming back in.
Yeah, and we've seen it in Montana. We've had record low unemployment. This means people that want to work can work. We just recently filed for work requirements on Medicare, Medicaid as a waiver from CMS. Again, we want these programs there to help people when they're in a tough spot. But for able-bodied adults, they should be working.
I think Montana's first state in the country to implement these types of common sense reforms.
Well, there's been a number of states. We still have to get it's called an 1115 waiver, is out for comment right now. We're getting that input. We'll file it with CMS in September. Hopefully we'll get it approved by the end of the year.
Yeah, four straight years now. And, of course, you've been governor for four straight years now, a little over. at 4 straight years of unemployment around 3%. It's just
that's
remarkable.
Right. It's significantly below the national average, and we're doing good. So I got some work to do here today.
Yeah. What's the work you're doing today? Because I know you're a business guy, so you don't come into a business meeting without a game plan.
What happens on the links is people get thirsty. So I drive the beverage cart every year. I'm here with the First Lady, and we got to make sure people stay hydrated. So we'll be here at Meadow Lake, and then we'll be at Buffalo Hill, and we just make sure that everyone stays hydrated.
I was going to say, because you're not as much of a golfer. I know that, knowing you for years now, but you're a big, you know, hunter. And so if you have golf clubs in the back of your cart, it's most likely going to be your AR-15 golf ball launcher instead of a driver and a three-wheeler.
Well, I do offer my services here. If a team gets in a particularly tough spot, I will take a surrogate shot for them. You know, I don't guarantee that the ball ends up where you want it to be, but we'll give it a best shot. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
How do you see the one big beautiful bill that just got across the finish line? How do you see that impacting Montana? Because, you know, the Trump tax cuts the first go around, you know, led to an increase in revenue for Montana. You, along with the Republican-led legislature, cut income taxes once again. And what we've consistently seen is every time we've cut taxes, we've gotten more revenue.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, it's a conservative principle. I mean, let's let people keep the money they earn. And so making these tax cuts permanent is a big deal. There have been some other cuts. We've been looking at impact on state agencies. Fortunately, our fiscal house is in order. We've had massive surpluses the last couple of biennium. I had to veto almost $400 million in spending coming out of this last legislature. So that gives us a buffer. I think we'll be fine. It's always a good thing to let people keep their hard-earned money.
Fire season and drought, you know, to parts of eastern Montana, now getting the moisture. Of course, the moisture comes in when the harvest is time to be done. Northwest Montana was much drier earlier in the year, then got some late moisture.
Up here, they got 2 inches in July.
Yeah,
so it's
really
like a record deal. I mean, even Flathead Lake is full.
Yeah.
You know, so we've gotten precipitation when we needed it. We were seeing some fire behavior in early June that was what we normally see at the end of August. That was a little concerning. But we've gotten a bunch of precipitation, and I'm just so proud of the people at DNRC. And, frankly, the Forest Service has been doing a good job under new leadership. They've been getting after fires. We just had one down in the Bitterroot. They threw everything they had at it and kept it under just around 100 acres.
Yeah, what a contrast in news headlines. There was a Lee newspaper's headlines about that very fire, and the Forest Service aggressively jumped on it and mitigated that fire, which is a strategy you've been focused on state lands here for the last 4 years. And then, so you have that news where they aggressively attack a fire, but yet, meanwhile, in Whitefish, far-left environmental groups are suing to stop a logging project in Whitefish. And so what a contrast of what the Trump administration is doing, what you're doing to stop these fires from happening, and yet the far-left environmentalists continuing to try to halt progress.
Yeah, there's two things we need to do. One is, when a fire starts, as long as we're not putting wildland firefighters at risk, we need to get after it, because it's a lot easier to deal with a small fire than a big fire. Secondly, we got to manage our forests again. This is why I was so thrilled working with Chief Schultz, the chief of the U.S. Forest Service, the first ever in the country. We signed a joint stewardship agreement for 200,000 acres between Kalispell here and Libby. This is the first time we've entered into one of these agreements anywhere in the country, and it's going to allow the state to start managing the national forest in a way that generates revenue for our schools, reduces fuel loads, improves habitat, expands recreation, and creates jobs in our timber industry. So everybody wins.
Yeah. I know you want to go mingle with all the great folks that are here to golf today and do some business deals. Final question for you. I got to see our friends from the Spring Creek coal mine yesterday as well. Unleashing Montana energy, unleashing American energy now with the Trump administration. How optimistic are you on that front?
Well, we need all of the above. I spoke at the Northwest Power Council yesterday. The demand for electricity is just going up. We cannot be picking winners and losers the way the Biden administration did. We need to be pursuing an all-of-the-above strategy. That includes coal, hydro, wind, solar, as well as nuclear. And, you know, beautiful, clean coal.
That's right. That's right. Well, and one of the truckers here in Whitefish, I saw Thursday. Columbia Falls. He's very excited about biomass getting a mention in there as well. Because what do we do with a lot of these logs?
Right here in Columbia Falls, Stultz has a cogeneration plant. They take the wood chips out of the sawmill, and they're generating 2 to 3 megawatts of power that they use themselves. They use the excess heat to cure the wood, and they put some of the power back on the grid. If we want a timber industry in Montana, we need a way to get rid of the chips. One thing to do with them is generate electricity.
Well, Governor, great to see you. And since you're going to be out on the golf course working some business deals, I'm glad you brought the closer with you.
Yes.
First Lady Susan Gianforte to really make sure the deal gets across the finish line.
Well, I couldn't do it without her.
Well, great to see both of you. Have a great time out there.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Governor. And of course, our coverage here from the Governor's Cup Golf Tournament here at Meadow Lake Golf Course, brought to you by Tatanka Cigars and our friends at Rocky Mountain Liquor.
Okay, back here with John Jackson. We've got a caller who has been patiently waiting on the line. Patiently, we have Bruce in Butte. You still there, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
Golf screener. Yeah, I had 24 years of practice at Hurry Up and Wait with Uncle Sam. So.
What's going on today, sir?
Well, one comment about the cowards in the Senate particularly. I mean, when it comes to the president, people are the policy. You know, you look at Bessent, you know, he beclowns the Fed just about every turn. And then Rubio, he's been pushing success all around the bloody planet. And, you know, look at Tom Homan. I mean, is he from central casting for a border czar or what? I mean, the man he knows his stuff and he's not afraid to speak his mind. People are policy. And those rhino cowards in the Senate, I mean, Thune and the rest of those guys, what the hell are they doing?
I can tell you what they're doing. I can tell you what they're doing, Bruce, is they are the uniparty. And they don't like Trump any more than the Democrats do. And what they want to do for his 4 years here, as slyly as they can do it, is just try to delay, obstruct, and wait him out. That's the whole thing right here, is to wait the man out.
My dogs are... That's my door alarm, my dogs. No, the only way we're going to really be able to fix this is we got to get some term limits on those guys. Not just every member of Congress, but, you know, the Supreme Court. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, how many people do we have to have on the Supreme Court that the only way we get them off the bench is when we haul their carcass off on a gurney?
Hey, Bruce, since you waited patiently, if you want to hang tight, we're going to go to a break, and I'll bring you back right after the break if you want to hang in there since you waited so long.
You can do that.
All right. Thank you, sir. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump announced another series of recent trade deals, this time with the Republic of South Korea. He says the deal amounts to an investment of $350 billion in U.S. goods, which includes agriculture products. South Korea will also purchase an additional $100 billion in liquefied natural gas and other energy products. President Trump says U.S. goods will be traded with South Korea at a zero tariff rate, while South Korea will pay a 15% tariff on U.S. goods. The U.S. Grains Council says that Korea is the fifth largest trading partner in U.S. grains in all forms, with sales totaling $4.07 billion in the 2023 through 24 marketing year. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the U.S. Forest Service is investing over $106 million to support state and landowner efforts to conserve private working forest lands across the country. Funded through the Forest Legacy Program, the projects will protect forests vital to economic and social fabric of local communities, ensuring they remain productive working forests for Americans and tourists to use and enjoy. She says, just like farms and ranches, working forests are a part of the backbone of rural America, providing jobs, timber, clean water, and places for families to hunt, fish, camp, hike, and make lifelong memories. That's a look at today's Ag News. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back. And we still have Bruce on the line, and Bruce waited so long on hold, so I want to give him a chance to finish his thought. You still there, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, the whole hook to this thing, I'm not necessarily certain it's a cure, but a way that we can make things better is with term limits. Now, when it comes to putting term limits on the president, it took a constitutional amendment to do that. It's going to take the same thing for Congress and especially the Supreme Court, you know, 12 years in and get it done, and then you're out. Go back to, you know, the founders never intended the politics to be a career. And the only way we're going to get an amendment through, there's two processes. Congress can propose the amendments and then put it up for ratification to the states. Or the various states, the legislatures can call for a constitutional amendment and then put it up for, again, ratification by, I believe it's 3/4 of the states. It's a pretty high bar. The only thing is, Congress is never going to do that. They are never going to propose such an amendment for term limits. You know, I've never seen, you know, my dogs here, I've never seen them come running back home and put on their own leashes. Dogs just don't do that, and Congress ain't going to do it. The only way we can do that is with a convention of states. And that's a beginning to try to get a handle back on this monster that we call the federal government. The framers pictured the federal government as just this wimpy little thing that we really only needed in times of war or if we were negotiating treaties with other countries. Otherwise, each state was supposed to run its own business. And now we've got the federal government dictating to everybody in the nation. And the framers, I'm pretty sure they would have already picked up their muskets and sabers and cleaned out that rat's nest in D.C. already.
Oh, that is a 100%. Thank you very much for the call, Bruce. I've been saying it for years. If the founders were alive today and saw what goes on with our federal government, you know where they would be? They would be here on a compound here in Montana and being labeled as domestic terrorists by the federal government, and they'd be preaching revolution. You remember, we fought a revolution over just this one little tax we didn't like. He's exactly right. They would be grabbing their muskets already. I mean, they would have been crossing Delawares already. That's just a fact. And let's see, now we got on line three. We have Roger in Three Forks. Morning, Roger.
How are you doing this morning? Thanks for taking my call. I've got a question for you. I heard the governor talking to Aaron about that 200,000-acre Forest Reduction Act, but I'm kind of wondering why he didn't ask the governor what are they going to do about that Bonner Mill that closed on Tuesday? That's where are they going to take their timber if they're going to clean it up? And I was just, that's the question I have. So
I didn't know that. The Bonner Mill closed? I hadn't heard that. I go through there quite regularly, yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday, I came out of the flathead, stopped there at the town pump, and all of the workers were in there, and they gave them 15 minutes, and they closed the mill.
I'll be
there. Get their stuff out of there. And I just wonder, you know, the governor was hyping all this timber stuff, but where are they going to take their logs? And it just flabbergasted me that he didn't ask him. So,
wow.
We knew about it here, and you know, on our TV stations here. So, yeah. So, something that I just thought the rest of the world ought to know. So.
Thank you very much for that, Roger. That's good information. I didn't know that. I drive by there fairly regularly going, to my cabin. And that entire town there is based on the mill. And I think part of it, you go through there and it says Milltown. I don't know if that's actually the name of the town, but you see these homes, they're like row homes. They're out there and that's what they're there for. I mean, that town is basically done. That place is over if the mill is closed. That's bad news. A lot of lost jobs there. And it's one of those things where you know we're going to need that in the future, and it won't be there, or it'll have to get rebuilt. And, you know, all of those workers will be gone. They'll go out to get other jobs. It'll just be something that'll have to get redone at a great expense. That's too bad. It's sad to hear. I saw it. You guys have to check this out. Go out. Y'all might get on me for saying this now, but I am going to say this too. Go out and see this. If you can't get on my Twitter feed, I am at PVT Joker US on at Private Joker US on Twitter X. If you can't go see it there, go on WNBC Montana. That's NBC Montana. They have got an incredible video out there that got caught on a trail camera out of Augusta, Montana. And it shows a grizzly bear from about, it's probably about 50, 70 feet away. And it's milling around near some kind of cabin and a shed. And I tell you guys, this thing is a monster. It almost looks like it's the size of the shed that it's standing near. And then something you see in the video is something spooked it, and it went running toward the camera. And near as I can tell, this thing looks to be a 1,000-pounder. This is just a monster grizzly bear. And you get a brief look and flash at those white claws as he goes rolling by. And I bet you those claws are 5 inches long. I mean, they are just the kind of thing that would take your head off in with one swipe. It just, you never know out there. Like I've always said, if anybody ever knew the amount of these creatures that are out in the wilderness here in Montana, at least, that the amount of times you've been out there on that trail and walked right by them as they sat off to the side in some cover, in some brush, and just let you walk on by, I mean, nobody would ever go out again. I mean, people wouldn't go out by themselves ever again if anybody ever knew how many times that has happened to you. The thing I used to always say, people say, oh, you know, it's so spooky to see the big grizzly tracks on your trail, like, and walking that way, like walking the direction that you're walking. Yeah, that's spooky, but the spookiest thing I ever saw was you come up on those tracks that are walking toward you. You see the tracks that are walking toward you, and they went off the trails. And see, in that instant, you know, he already heard you, saw you coming, and is over there somewhere watching you right now. That's more spooky to me than, and thank God our ancestors conducted themselves back when we were still living in caves, that they had their sharp sticks and their sharp weapons and trained these beasts to not mess with us, because if they truly regarded us as a food source, we'd be done for. you wouldn't be able to go out in the woods at all. They had a couple more stories for you guys. Well, just breaking news now. Apparently, this is from Eric Daugherty from Florida Voice News. A Biden judge has just blocked President Trump from removing the temporary protected status for 60,000 illegal aliens. And that's nationwide. And as I understand it, this is a judge out of California. And if you guys remember, really, really famous case, maybe a month ago out of the Supreme Court of the United States, which they struck down this ability of these local district judges to do these nationwide injunctions. But they just keep doing it. And in this case right here, the only answer from the Trump administration to these lawless judges is just keep doing what you're doing. Don't pay it no mind. Absolutely ignore it. And, you know, of course, engage with the legal process, appeal it, you know, appeal it directly to the Supreme Court right now and say, you know, they're breaking the law now, the precedent, that the opinion that the Supreme Court has set out there, and they just don't care. But just keep on going. And see, I can't even tell you how many Supreme Court decisions have already come down just in the last 10 years that have said again and again and again, immigration, And everything that goes with that is completely and utterly the purview of the executive branch. That's how Biden was able to just open the borders and let all these people in here, because they truly do control it. It is 100% under the control of the executive branch. But remember, as in all things, the law only applies when Democrats are in, okay? When Republicans are in, there is no law, and they will just do anything they can do to stop you. They will break the law. They will set you up. They will indict you. They will jail you. They will kill you. They will try to kill you, just like they've done all of that to President Trump. It's not a conspiracy theory, fellas, if it's right there in black and white and on video what they've done. It ceases to be a conspiracy theory anymore when it's right there in front of you. Hey, we got the music coming up. Come back for one more segment here on Montana Talks, and I see Perry on the line from Columbus. I'll get to you right when we get back, Perry.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back. Well, you know, we have got on the phone here, like I said before we went to break, we have got Perry on line one. What you got there, Perry?
Good morning, John. You know, I want to call this comment, rules for thee, but not for me. It's the old deal where whether you're talking about the that just issued yet another nationwide injunction, even when they've been told they can't do that, you can go all the way back to, remember Barack Hussein Obama's first attorney general, Eric Holder, and we kick them when they're down. You know, I've been around a long time, and this started this takeover of our constitutional republic by Islamists and communists and anarchists and useful idiots started way back then, and it really started getting serious about the time January 2009 came around. And this judge thing, it's just another, yet another, in your face, we're going to do what we want until you stop us. Well, the thing is, we need to go ahead and use whatever methods are necessary, because there's only one thing that these kinds of authoritarians understand, and it's power. Raw, unmitigated power, because you've seen it over and over again. They're willing and able and eager to use it on us. And boy, howdy, there's nothing they'll understand quicker than when the shoe goes on the other foot and up their rear end. So wake up, America, Montana. If you understand, they're coming for us. This is a very critical time, and we better stand up and unite, or we will fall.
Oh, 100%, and a lot of us out there have been saying that for a long time. Thank you, Perry, for the call. And that is what should have been happening during the Biden regime with all of their evil deeds is you have people like, say, in Republican Senate leadership, Republican House leadership, is at every turn, you know, however long, you know, once a month, once every 90 days, whatever, 6 months, you're telling the Democrats that are in power right now, and you're letting the White House know, just so you know, we're keeping book on you. And everything you're doing right here is going to get done back to you. And then one time, then also do it. And this would stop all of that. This is the thing that I've been hammering on for years. The only reason they do it is because it never gets done back to them. The Republicans, they become in the minority. You get another, you get Gavin Newsom in here as president, and Chuck Schumer is the majority, and the Republicans will be just going along and trying to be as bipartisan and as go along to get along as they can be. We got to have some bipartisanship in here. Can't have all this political infighting, right? They never do it back to them because it's the Uniparty. And our guys exist to be up there and line their pockets and get reelected. Their guys exist. Of course, they want to do that too. But they are agenda warriors. They want permanent one-party control. And everything they do is about that all the time, 24/7. Speaking of that, just now, breaking news from Eric Daugherty. This morning, we've been talking about the President Trump's nominees and how so many of them are getting held up by the Democrats or not getting confirmed. And President Trump has been pounding the table on this for, I don't know, about a week, saying that they need to cancel recess. You know, some of these things need to get done now. We cannot wait until they come back here in September to get this done. Well, the breaking news is, I'll read it to you. Leader Thune is now getting the Trump White House to speak with Chuck Schumer's team to make a deal about confirming nominees. Apparently, according to this, a funding freeze release may be demanded by Democrats in exchange. Now, what that means is that's blackmail. And the Democrats are trying to say, we'll confirm your nominees for money. And that money is, because you know, the priority of the president, he can come in and all these different funding mechanisms, he can just pause them all for a little while, whenever he feels like it. And, of course, that money, that spigot of money, is all the Democrats' little honey hole, their little slush fund that they tap into. So now they're trying to bend President Trump over and tell him if he'll unfreeze or unpause some of this money, that they'll confirm his nominees? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And this is the kind of thing, too, that needs to get told to the whole country. Look at this right here. It's not that they can't get his nominees in. They're trying to blackmail him over it. Absolutely not. You know, what did you learn back post 9/11? We do not negotiate with terrorists. Okay, and who are the modern day Democrat Party? You know who they are. You've watched them for the last 16 years. They are domestic terrorists who kill our police officers, terrorize our streets, burn our buildings, cause chaos everywhere they go. No negotiating with these people at all. John Thune can just keep them there through the break and make them do it. Do not give them a thing in exchange for this. You give them this, they'll be back the next time for more. Well, there is the music, guys. Been great being with you, all y'all, this morning. And I'll see y'all next week on Montana Talks.